Hey guys, I'm Brad Livingston, lead pastor here at Transformation Church. I want to thank you for tuning in to our sermon today. At TC, we exist to see people transform from who they are to who God wants them to be. So no matter where you are on your faith journey, I hope today's message inspires you to take one step closer to Christ.
Man, we are so excited about what God is doing. We're jumping back in the How They Do It series. And I have a question for you. Have you ever asked the question, God, what are you doing? Yep. Come on, anybody? Anybody? Only seven of us. Anybody? Come on, give me a hand. If you ever ask God, God, what are you doing in my life? All right, the rest of you, you just had life easy, huh? No problem. So I remember me and Ashley went on our honeymoon. We went to Orlando, went to Disney World. And so we were at Disney World and doing the whole thing. And one of the days we went shopping. So we went to this little shopping plaza. And the way it felt was you walked down and you walked in and you were shopping at all these shops and it was very flat. And so we parked our car and we were shopping all the way down. We saw some clouds coming in at a distance and I was like, let's go back to the car. And in my mind, I was like, you know what? If we hop that fence right there, we'll be right at the car. We don't need to take the 25-minute walk around. Y'all, you know what I'm talking about? So I was like, let's hop the fence. And Ashley was like, it says do not enter. And I was like, that's a suggestion. So I was like, let's hop this fence. We'll be 30 seconds from the car. We don't have, and so she was like, I don't know. I was like, come on, let's go. Let's live a little. And so we hopped the fence and I realized that the shopping center wasn't flat. It was just so big that it felt flat. It actually curved. So we didn't hop the fence next to our car. We hopped the fence back here somewhere and then had a 30-minute walk to our car. And no sooner than we hop the fence, the sky falls, and it's raining like it's never rained before. I'm talking Noah's Ark flood, guys. I saw animals going by two, all right? And so we're sitting there in the rain, and it's like, I was so angry, there was nothing you could do but laugh. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Matter of fact, we got a picture. We took a picture that day of that moment, and we still have it for you. We're going to show it to you. There I am, right there. That's pre-beard me, by the way, all right? So that's, and that is me walking in that. Ashley took the picture, and we've remembered this moment for the rest of our lives, all right? And so I'm just, again, I'm smiling because I'm so mad. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, God, what are you doing? Like, this is supposed to be my honeymoon. Everything's supposed to be going right. Everything's supposed to be perfect. And you're sitting here dropping rain on us, right? And I think at the time, my wife was also looking at me like, what are we doing, right? And I think we've all been in that place before where we're asking God, God, what are you doing? Like, what is happening right now? And if you've ever been there before, then I want to talk to you about it. And I believe some of you are probably there right now. And how many will acknowledge, you don't have to raise your hand, but just give me a little head nod. You realize you kind of move in and out of this each week almost. It's like there are certain things that happen all the time. And I want to show you a story of some people that found themselves in this exact same spot in the Bible. And it's the Israelites. Now, to catch you up on the story, the Israelites have been slaves to Egypt for hundreds of years at this point. They've been in captivity, and Pharaoh's been ruling them, ruling over them. And finally, God sends Moses to tell Pharaoh, God wants you to let his people, the Israelites, go. And Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to do it. And so God sends plagues on the land. He turns the water and the rivers into blood, sends frogs. And then ultimately, the firstborn of the households, the boys get killed if they don't have blood. So many of you know those kind of parts of the story. So now that some people have died, finally, Pharaoh's like, forget it. Let him go. And that's where we pick up in Exodus 12:31. I want to read this to you. Exodus 12:31, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron during the night. And he said, you and the Israelites must leave my people at once. He was done with it. Go worship the Lord as you asked. The problem is, he made the decision and then regretted the decision. Come on, anybody ever regretted a decision not too long after you made one? That's what we pick up in verse 14. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them. So he had his chariot made ready and he took his whole army with him. He said, we're going to go get them back. Now, if you can imagine this as the Israelites, now you've been freed. Now we're talking thousands upon thousands of people here are now walking towards a promised land. They don't know where they're going. And they're a little bit confused because we don't quite know where we're going. We're just trusting God in the process. We're just glad to be out of slavery. That's ultimately where they're at. And so for God to help them, in Exodus 13, God does this. It says by day, right? It says this, by day the Lord went ahead of the Israelites in a pillar of cloud, meaning there was literally a cloud pillar that they could follow to know the right direction to go, to guide them on their way. And by night there was a pillar of fire to give them light so they could travel by day or night. So if you've heard the story growing up, you know there was a cloud by day, fire by night, and it led them, it was supposed to lead them into the promised land. And so now they're on this journey moving forward, trying to get to the place that God has for them. But we all find ourselves in seasons where we're going, God, what are you doing? And I want to show you a couple moments where they were doing this exact same thing. And a few things it's important to remember when we go through seasons like that. And the first thing that we need to remember is we got to recognize the miracle that got you here. You got to recognize the miracle that got you here. Because how many of you are with me realizing that it's a miracle you're even here today? Come on, I've got a buddy right now I talk to about once a year. He's in prison for 20 years. And can I tell you something? The only difference between him and me is he got caught when he did and I didn't. Come on, anybody got some past behind them where you've got some things you're still dealing with that are, you're praising God you didn't get caught. Anybody, is there anyone in here? It's by the grace of God you are where you are, because if it hadn't been for God's grace, you would be where some other people are. Come on. Is there anybody that God kept you out of the gutter just because he gave you grace? And man, I'm here to tell you that you got to recognize the miracle that got you here. Because listen to me, it's a miracle that you are where you are. I got a buddy of mine right now. He calls me every single year. He calls me and he wants me to come play drums with him on cruise ships. And so he'll call me, hey man, you want to come play drums this year on the cruise? I mean, he's called me every year for 10 years. You want to come play drums on the cruise ship? Now, keep in mind, I'm not going to tell you his name because you might know him. He has 7 children with 7 different women. Doesn't love God, doesn't know God. He's like, come on, you want to play? I'm like, yeah, no, I do not want to go with you into any atmosphere where you're doing that, right? Like, and his whole thing is like, come on, man, it'll be great. But I'm here to tell you today, I could very easily have found myself in any one of these places that this guy or my buddy that's in prison were in. But it's by the grace of God, he rescued me from that. And listen to me, it's God's grace that there's the cloud in front of you leading you the way you're going. Because if it weren't for God's grace, you could be somewhere else. The problem is sometimes we can forget how good God is being to us and only see the problem that's directly in front of us. And that's what happens in Exodus 14. The Israelites, they see the armies coming after them, right? And God leads them to a Red Sea. So there's a Red Sea in front of them and the army, they look behind them and the army of Egypt's coming after them. And now they're like, oh no, it's all about to go down. And in Exodus 14, they literally look at Moses and say this, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Can I tell you something? It's never better to stay where you were. It's always better to be where God has you now. And I know it's tempting to be like, man, I should have just stayed. No, you shouldn't have stayed, because God has more purpose for you in front of you than he had behind you. God has more he wants to do in front of you than what's going on back. Listen, I'm here to tell you today that we can trust God with our future. You may not know how you're going to get through it, but it's always better to be where God is taking you than to want to stay where you used to be, because where you used to be is where the pain was, it's where the suffering was, it's where the trauma was, it's where the struggle was. And that may be familiar, but it doesn't make it better. So listen, you got to pay attention to what's in front of you. The problem is, it's daunting when you're looking at the thing that seems impossible, isn't it? That's why, listen, you got to pay attention to this. Whatever you're focusing on will always seem bigger to you. Whatever you're focusing on will always seem bigger to you, right? If you're focusing on your problem looks bigger. But listen to me, if you're focusing on God, God looks bigger. Whatever you're focusing on will always seem like the thing that is taking over. I think that's why Paul was speaking in Philippians chapter 3 when he says, one thing I do. Say one thing. Turn to your neighbor and say one thing. One thing I do. Despite all the stuff he's got going on, one thing I do. Listen, I'm forgetting what's back there. Listen, what's back there is not what's for you. That's what was behind you. I'm forgetting what's back there. I'm forgetting what's behind. Listen, I'm straining toward. Does that sound like an easy road? Does straining sound like simple? I'm straining. Listen, it may take all my might in some seasons, but I'm straining towards what's ahead. I press on toward the goal. Listen, sometimes there's going to be opposition. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be a Red Sea in front of you. Press on towards the goal to win the prize that God has called you heavenward toward in Christ Jesus. Strain ahead. Press on. Which brings me to my next point That it's not just about the miracle that God got you here, but then you got to realize God's protection. Realize God's protection even when you're being pursued. Even when you're being pursued. Listen to me. The fact that the enemy is coming after you doesn't mean that God's not with you. The fact that you're protected when he is means God's with you. And I think sometimes we like to think, man, it's getting so hard. God, I don't even know if you're with me. No. The fact that you're still standing when it gets hard is showing you that God's still with you. And so God is good at showing up in those ways. And in Exodus 14, we see the same thing happening. Then the angel of God. So again, I want to paint the scene for you. The armies of Egypt are coming after them and they're behind them. There's a Red Sea in front of them. So they can't go forward and the enemy's behind them. And they don't know what to do. And then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side, talking about Egypt, and light to the other side, talking about Israel. So neither went near the other all night long. Listen to me. You may be in a season where you don't know what God is doing. You may be in a season of uncertainty. You may be in a season where you're not sure how you're going to make it through what's in front of you. That doctor's report seems impossible. The money situation seems like you can't get out of it. Your marriage seems like it's over. Your kids have lost their mind. Kids, your parents have lost their mind. Listen, somebody has lost their mind. But I'm here to tell you today that despite how it may seem impossible that God could come through, you may not have an emergency evacuation plan just yet, but God doesn't have to give you an evacuation when he can give you protection. And so you got to realize that God has the ability to get between you and what's coming after you to create a shield so you don't have to worry about it. Listen, he may not eliminate the army. He may just have a way of making sure they stay in the dark while you stay in the light. And so they're coming after. And listen, I know what this feels like because 3 days ago, a cop was following me home. And y'all know that feeling when they pull in behind you, right? I was driving, I was leaving work, headed down Pine Forest Road for the, Pensacola knows where Pine Forest Road is, and I headed down Pine Forest Road, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I was going faster than the posted speed limit, all right? I believe those are suggestions, kind of like do not enter signs at Disney World. And so I was going down Pine Forest Road and doing faster than I should have, and he pulled in right behind me. And right when he pulled in, I was like, "Duh, this is it. This is it," right? And so I'm going home. It's a 15-minute drive home for me, so I'm going home. And I even got to one of the roads. Like, he's following me. I'm blinker on, right? Turning left, turning left. Turning right, turning. I'm like, duh. And so I get, even I'm close to home, and there's this side street you can take as a shortcut. And I was like, let me see if he's really following me. Side street. I was like, man. And so I'm pulling into my neighborhood. He's still behind me. I'm like, I'm about to get a ticket in my driveway, y'all. That's what's in my mind. Pull into my driveway, and if he pulls into the house, three houses down, because he's my neighbor. Hedge of protection. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My God, yeah. He put a cloud between us. No, I don't know why he didn't pull me over. Grace of God. All right. But all that to say, we all know what it feels like for God to put protection between what is coming after us and where we are, right? We all know what it feels like so we can look and say, God, I don't know how I'm making it this far. I'm not even sure. Hey, I feel like things should have fallen apart by now, but they haven't yet. Why? Because God is putting a cloud between you and what the enemy wants to use to destroy you. And we need to have confidence that, listen, you may not have eliminated it yet, but you're protecting me from it. And that alone is worthy of praise. That's why 2 Thessalonians says, but the Lord is faithful. He's faithful. He will establish you, listen, and he'll guard you against the evil one. We can trust God in this. We got to go to God. And listen, I think we're all guilty of going to God with complaints rather than conversations. I think we're all guilty of going to God and saying, like, God, and being mad that we're going through what we're going through. God, I can't believe this. Why would you? This isn't fair. You should have never. Why? If you loved me, then you wouldn't. And listen, I'm here to tell you today that that's not the way we should approach God in our prayer life. Matter of fact, I said it like this. Our prayer life should be a conversation to release our burdens rather than complaints about having them. Listen, you're going to have burdens. The Bible says, in this life, you will have trouble. And then Jesus says, take heart. I've overcome the world. So like in this world, you're going to go through things. Don't be mad that you're going through things. Be glad that you have me who's overcome all those things. And I think that's where we need to find ourselves. So let me encourage you today. Let your prayer life be a conversation with God where you lay down your burdens, not a complaint session about the fact that you have some things to carry. Because hear me, if it's only a complaint session, you leave still carrying them. But when it's a conversation with God, you get to actually lay them down. And that's what God's looking for out of us. But then it brings me to my next point that I want to talk to you about today. And that's what we got to remember. If God brought you to it, he will make a way through it. If God brought you to it, he has a way of making a way through it. And so God is bringing the Israelites. There's the Red Sea in front of them, the armies behind them, and they're thinking to themselves, God, what are you doing? Say it with me. God, what are you doing? Because we've all been there before. And there's a young lady in our church, she's actually my niece, who has been through a season of her life where she was thinking, God, what are you doing? And an amazing person stepped into her life to help lead her and was with her even through some of those seasons. And I want to show you her story right now. Go ahead, guys.
I grew up without my biological father. I always thought like, well, why didn't my real father love me? Or like, why didn't he care about me and to like stay? I always thought like, well, maybe I was the problem. My name is Lexi Trigoning. For as long as I can remember, I would always ask my mom, why don't I have the same last name as you? When can I have the same last name as you? She would always tell me that she loves me and like that it was God's will for us to be how, like for me to be raised how I was. So even though like he wasn't there for me, like she was always there and I always had like my papa and I always had my whole family. And obviously I grew up in church, so everybody there, that's my family. So we all grew up together, or I grew up together with them very closely. Even though I grew up without my biological father, Anthony stepped in as that role. And growing up, I always like, that is my dad. I would tell everybody like, that's my dad. And then they'd be like, well, your dad's white. And I'm like, well, you know, it's a whole complicated story, but like, he's who raised me. He has always been there for me. He has always acted like I was his kid, like I was his child. He's never treated me like I wasn't. Or like I was less than what I was, like than what I am. Even though he shows it in different ways, I always felt loved by him, always comforted. I go to him more than I go to my mom about situations, like big things. And you know, she's probably mad about that, but I always talk to him because he's always there. He sits there and he watches me give him hauls when I go shopping. And he tells me that I buy really nice things and I should probably stop spending my money. But he's always there for me whenever I do like things. He's always there to love me, to care for me. He wants what's best for me. I said hi to him in a grocery store and he took that as I want to know him, but in reality I didn't even know who he was and I was just being a nice person and telling him hi. That's when I found out that he wanted to get joint custody of me. That's what really made me realize like I went through a hard time with it. Because I was like, you didn't love me for 15 years, and now you're trying to get into my life, and I don't want you to be, because my life is great how it is. And I actually wrote a letter to him, basically telling him that I didn't want to do anything different in my life. I wanted my life to be the same way it was. I didn't want to go to spend weekends with him or anything, and he took that as me lying and saying that I was being manipulated into saying that. And so I met with our lawyer and we had a conversation and he realized like, hey, she's being for real. Like she doesn't want to mess, like her life how it is now is perfect how she wants it. I found out 3 days before I was getting adopted, that I was getting adopted, and I broke down crying. I feel grateful that, you know, even though I didn't have a father in the beginning, I legally have one, and it makes me feel, I don't know how to explain it, but like, amazed that like he stepped up to be my dad, and I love that. I'm legally his, and so, yeah. Everything happens for a reason. God planned this to be this way, and it's definitely drawing me still closer to him.
Amazing story, you know, and you know, the reason we tell this story is like, we can look at the Israelites, God, what are you doing? We can look at Lexi's story, you know, going through, first of all, starting off a life, going, God, what are you doing? Then having a good life, and then 15 years later, guess what's coming back? The thing that's behind her. God, what are you doing, right? And we don't tell that story to bash her biological father. We tell that story to show you how sometimes even the thing you thought you dealt with has a way of showing back up again. And for her, that's what it was. But for you, it could be anything. For you, it could be that cancer report. For you, it could be that financial situation or that degree problem or something in your career. It could be something with one of your kids. It could be anything. And the reality is this, we all know what it feels like to have something monumental in front of us that we're not sure how we're going to get through, and a past behind us that sometimes keeps showing up in ways we wish it wouldn't. And that's when we have to trust God the most. And in those seasons, we got to say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but we're trusting that you're going to do it. In Exodus 14, it says that Moses stretched out his hand over the water. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. Because God has a way of making a way when we don't know how he's going to make a way. He makes a way when there is no way. Come on, somebody. God has a way of doing that. But can I tell you something? If you look at the text, army behind them, sea in front of them, and I think if you're anything like me, my question wouldn't be, God, how am I getting through this? It would be, God, how come you haven't gotten rid of this? Right? Like, if you're anything like me, I'm going, God, if you really love me, you would make the sea disappear and the armies disappear and everything would be good. But how many guys have realized oftentimes the army doesn't go away and the sea doesn't disappear? He just has a way of making it through it, not getting rid of it. And listen to me, you're going to go through the thing that's in front of you. It's rare that God removes the thing in front of you. You're going to go through it. He just has a way of creating a pathway through it where you're not harmed in the process. And that's what I want to invite you to. The reality is that, man, sometimes we're going to go through it. We're going to endure it. But he has a way of making it dry ground that we can walk on and trusting God in the process. In Lamentations, it says this, yet there is one ray of hope. Say hope. His compassion never ends. It is only the Lord's mercies that have kept us from complete destruction. Come on, somebody. Like, you could be a lot of places right now, but God has kept us. Great is his faithfulness. His loving kindness begins afresh every day. Because we know what it feels like to have a past we can't shake and a chaos in front of us we don't know how we're going to endure. We know what it feels like to have something behind us we're not sure how we can get rid of and something in front of us that seems impossible. We know what it feels like to be uncertain on how we're going to get through the next phase while also carrying the burdens of the last season. Many of us know what it feels like in varying ways to be struggling with what's in front of us and at the same time struggling to let go of what's behind us. And I'm here to tell you today that God is faithful no matter where you're at. God has a way of showing up no matter where you're at. God has a way of leading you through it no matter what you're going through, and we can trust God in the process. And when we look at Exodus 14, it says this, Moses answered the people. They're speaking to him. We should have just stayed in Egypt. How is God going to do this? And this is what Moses says. Do not be afraid. Now, I don't know about you. That would not have been a satisfactory answer for me. Don't be afraid. Like, easy for you to say, man. Red Sea in front of us. army behind us. Has anybody ever been going through something and you go to Christians for help and they say something stupid? Come on, let's all be honest for a second. We say stupid things sometimes, right? I mean, like, we just got a cancer report. Oh, we're just gonna trust God. Yeah, I know, but I still hate it, right? I remember when my son got sick, people would come to us like, you just need to pray. It's like, what do you think we're doing, man? What do you think we've been doing? You just need to have more faith. How much faith do you think we're supposed to have? And I think Christians just say stupid things sometimes. You just want to be like, shut up. Sorry, I said shut up. All right. But we all know what it feels like, right? And I'm looking at Moses and he's going, do not be afraid. And it's like, yeah, but here's the thing I noticed about Moses. Check it out. He's in the same spot they're in. He don't have a different vantage point. He's looking at the Red Sea too. He's looking at the army also. He's like, so listen, it's a whole different thing when the person that's telling you to trust God is in it with you. He said, don't be afraid. Stand firm. In other words, dig your heels in. Stand tall. Stand firm. Listen, you're going to see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about next week. I don't know about next month. And I can't talk about yesterday or last week or last month. But what I can promise you is God has a plan for today. And when you wake up tomorrow, you have the ability to look in the mirror and say, I don't know about yesterday and I don't know about tomorrow, but God has a plan for today. And I can trust him with today. And this is what Moses says. Check it out. He says, the Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Listen to me. You just need to be still. And I don't know about you, I'm really good at getting really busy when I'm not sure what God is doing. I'm really good about like, let me go to work with my hands. Let me go to work. Let me move faster. Let me get busier. Let me grind harder. You know what I need to start doing? I need to start being still. Because I could trust God when I'm being still. So what do you need to do? How do you implement this tomorrow? Well, let's just use what Moses said. Stand firm and be still. But I thought about this, and some of you are like, yeah, I figured that part out, Brad. How do I do it? Well, let me give this part to you and maybe it'll help you. Build your trust in God by acknowledging him in everything. Every season you're in, God, I'm trusting and I'm seeing how you're working in this season. Every problem you come in contact with, God, I see how you're going to work in this problem. Or I don't see how you're working in this problem, but I'm going to choose to trust you anyways. God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this Red Sea of my life. I don't see how you're going to lead me through this thing. But you know what? Because you saved my eternity, I'm going to trust you in my temporary. Like, I'm not sure how you're going to do it, but I'm trusting you that you're going to do it. And every time, listen, what if every time you woke up, you said, God, I'm trusting you with today. What if every problem at your work, God, I'm trusting you with today. What if everything your kids went through, God, I'm trusting you with today. What if everything in your marriage, every doctor's report you got, every bank statement, God, I'm trusting you with today. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm trusting you with today. And if we'll acknowledge him in the difficulties, we can see him come through in the miraculous. And I think that's what David was getting to in Psalms chapter 3 as we wrap up today. He says this, because he's got armies trying to destroy him. Oh Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. And then he says this word, Selah. And if you're ever reading the Psalms and you see this word Selah, you see we don't have a translation for this word in English. There's not a word that it represents very well. But essentially what it is it's a pause. It's a reflection, and it's kind of a sigh, honestly. It's an end of a statement without quite knowing what the beginning of the next one is. I equate it to, come on, anybody? You ever told God everything you know to say, and all you got left is, but in that moment, David does exactly what we just talked about. He remembered the miracle of him even being king. He realized that God can protect him even when something's pursuing him. And he remembered that if God brought him to it, God can lead him through it. And after the, come on, I think somebody in this room just needs one of those. Come on, take a deep breath. Because this is what David says after that. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You protect me. You guard me. You're my glory, and you're the lifter of my head. You hold my head high. I cry out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. Come on. God sees you. I remember that treacherous walk through Disney World parking lot, not knowing that I had a 30-minute walk ahead of us. And I remember thinking, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? My wife's looking at me, Brad, what are we doing? And you know what I realized? God's looking at me going, bro, what are you doing? There was a covered, designated pathway back to your vehicle. You hopped the fence, right? And I think for a lot of us, let's be honest, I think sometimes that's what God's looking at us in our season of life. We're going, God, what are you doing? He's looking at us. Hey, I've got a covered, designated pathway through what's in front of you. Why don't you trust me? And that's literally what my wife and I remind each other of all the time. Remember that time we got caught in the parking lot in the rain? Maybe let's just trust God and do it the right way. Every time we're tempted to cut a corner, something like that, or get crazy, you know, with our finances and step out of what we'd agreed to, we're like, ah, there's a covered, designated pathway God seems to have for us. Why don't we trust him with that rather than trying to make our own way? So let's trust God. And I'll give you this as we close. How much impact could your story have on the people around you if you chose to trust God? Come on, not just for your life, but for the people that are watching you. Because for some of you, your story is the greatest story they're going to hear about God's goodness. Let's trust God. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you and we love you today. We're so grateful that you lead us and you guide us, that we can trust you. So Lord, in your faithfulness, God, give us comfort that we can trust you. Give us comfort that you are leading us. Give us comfort that God, what you're doing in our lives, God, we can have faith in that. There may be some things behind us we're trying to get away from, and there may be some things in front of us that seem impossible. But at the end of the day, God, you're the God of the miraculous and we can trust you. So when seasons where we're going, God, what are you doing? Let us realize we can say, God, we trust you no matter what you're doing. And let us put faith in you to acknowledge you in every season. We thank you today and we love you. In Jesus' name, if you're here today with your eyes closed and God is not the Lord of your life, you're not a Christian, but today you say, you know what? Brad, I know sin. I know there's some issues in my life that have separated me from God, but today I want to know him. I want him to become the Lord of my life. Today, if that's you, I want to invite you to pray this prayer. The beauty of the gospel is Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins and rose again so that we can be with God. And today, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, today, if you want to be forgiven and you want a fresh start, all it takes is faith, belief that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for your sins, just like he did mine. And today, if you want that, then I want to encourage you to put your faith, believe in him. But now I want to invite you to say a prayer with me, and this prayer doesn't save you. It just puts language to what you're believing in your heart today, that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. And the whole church will pray it with you so you're not praying by yourself. So let's pray. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my wrongs. I believe in you. I believe you died for me. So I give you my life. Make me brand new. Give me a fresh start and I'll follow you and I'll trust you forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. TC, let's give it up for all those that prayed that today, made a commitment to Jesus. We celebrate with you. Amazing, amazing, amazing.